Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM.
At the end of the day, you know, I think people should think about travel as kind of investment in yourself. You know, every time you go somewhere new, you're really learning and growing as a person and just kind of seeing new cultures, meeting new people. So I think at the end of the day, travel kind of as an investment is the way, you know, I try to look at it. And I hope other people do as well.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
While you're busy Googling best ways to pay off your debt and best mutual funds to invest in, and of course, best ways to build a budget, you should also pay attention to the best ways to travel. Traveling is, I think, a fixed cost on so many of our budgets. Most people would probably think it's a luxury expense, but if you're anything like me, it's something that you have to do, or you feel trapped or stressed out or frustrated. So travel is this release. But if you're going to travel, you might as well know some of the insider tricks to save money, like how you could save a ton of cash just by traveling to and from a different airport. I've saved, I don't even know how much, I'm just going to say thousands and thousands of dollars over the last few years with different smart money moves that I've made. But I wanted to pick Jesse from Dollar Flight Club's brain since he spends all day working on deals to figure out, okay, what else should we know about traveling to help us save some cash? We're talking about one of my very favorite subjects today, which is travel. And I am, of course, being a money person, a huge fan of finding cheap flights, whether it's through credit card points or my crazy system that I use to search for flights. But you're the expert. So I'd love to know, like, what are some of the secret ways we can go about finding cheap flights?
Yeah, of course, of course. So obviously everyone loves to travel. You know, who doesn't want to go to Paris or Thailand or Bali or wherever it might be, right? I mean, we all wish we had the hundreds of thousands of airline points we can use to just book flights for free, but obviously that's not always the case. So really for us, I mean, what we say is, number one, be flexible with your airports, where you fly from. So when someone signs up for Dollar Flight Club, we say, hey, we recommend you select all airports within an hour and a half drive from your where you live. Because, for example, I used to live in San Diego, and I was going over to Europe, and flights from San Diego to Europe were, you know, roughly 1,000 round trip. But what I did is I looked at LA, which is really only a few hour drive or take the train up. And, you know, that ended up being, you know, roughly $400 round trip for that flight.
Wow.
So that's like what we, that's kind of number one of what we recommend. And you can do that in a lot of cities, right? Like San Francisco has three main airports. If you live in, say, New York, it's really quick to get down to Philadelphia. Stuff like that, you know, really can save you a lot of money on flights. And then really the next big thing is, you know, say you're going to Europe, for example, from the US. We say just book the cheapest flight across the ocean. So if you're trying to go to Paris, but for example, maybe the flight is, you know, $500 less to London, book that London flight is what we tell our members, and then take a train, book a budget airline, like Ryanair from London to Paris, which will be $30, $40 maybe. So that's kind of the two things we say is kind of the main tips.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, I mean, I've been sort of a travel guru even long before I was like in the quote unquote money business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it's so easy to just get in the habit of thinking, well, I could just fly out of this airport and I fly directly to this city. But like when you start to expand your thinking out and for me, it's like, it's just a few extra minutes or it's like using a service like yours where, you know, you can look at like, what are these different airports? And I've had that so many times when I've flown to Europe and I've gone someplace and, you know, I've gone, taken the London flight or the Paris flight or whatever, and then transferred. And so you just save so much money. It just like blows my mind that more people don't do that.
Yeah, for sure. And then you also, I mean, another cool thing about that is you get to, you know, you might get to see other places too, or you might get to experience places you haven't been, kind of in that, while you're making that transition. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm just curious, like, have you always had a love for travel, or like what sort of spurred in you of like, okay, I'm going to start.
Yeah.
I'm going to start this, and like, this is my passion, and Dollar Flight Club is like going to be my business.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always loved to travel. You know, I was born and raised in Cape Town, South Africa, and then I moved to the US when I was 12. So I'd been lucky, you know, in that time, I've been lucky enough to travel to Europe, all over Africa, and then also to the US a bunch of times. So, I mean, I'd say that's when kind of the traveling started, and I was lucky enough to have my parents be able to take me to all those places. So that's kind of where it really kind of started. And then, you know, moving, you know, when I got a little older, really always loved travel. And then always really just helping my friends and family book flights and just kind of tell them where it might be the cheapest, or just kind of help them, you know, really, you know, the landscape is really, it's really hard because there's so many things or so many websites online where, you know, they are telling you, here's the cheapest flight, here's the cheapest hotel. So it's really information overload. So what I thought is, hey, all these other companies like Kayak, Expedia, you know, they are really, you know, all the fares here are really expensive, and really their business model at the end of the day was what we changed is their business model is a commission business model where they make money based off of commission. We don't make any money on commission. So we make money, with our members paying us an annual fee. So you can trust us that we're going to only send you the cheapest flights. We are not incentivized to make you book, you know, more expensive fares. So that's kind of where it all came together as, hey, a change in the business model, and really my love for travel and really just helping my friends and family do this already is kind of where it came from. So,
yeah, I like that. It's interesting when you start like looking, I think, behind the scenes at different business models, especially travel, because it feels like not a monopoly, but
yeah,
it feels like, okay, you know, Expedia or Kayak or whatever service you're using, like I see their commercials all the time, you know, mm-hmm. they have these huge ad budgets. So yeah. It must be the best place to book flights. And I think, you know, it's having that moment of pause or even just like education about how these companies make money and, you know, are you actually getting the best flight? But I'd love to chat a little bit about like, you know, other myths around booking plane flights, because there used to be the like book at night or book midweek. Like, mm-hmm. does any of this actually matter anymore? Or is it all just kind of like a jump ball?
Yeah. So, I mean, nowadays, you know, the myths kind of, you know, maybe like clearing your cache, like that's not really a thing anymore.
Right.
You know, that doesn't really make a difference is what we found, you know, just in the past few years. And then really another myth is what people are sometimes like, oh, like booking last minute flights, you know, could be cheaper, right? Because there's like less, you know, they have to sell the flights or, you know, there's seats available, but that just really never works out. You know, you just like, do not do that. But what we do know is that Tuesday is the cheapest day to travel.
Really?
That's, you know, based on the data we have, that's really the cheapest day to book your flight, cheapest day to travel, not book your flight. And, you know, also really in general, it's 2 to 3 months out is for domestic flights is best. And then 3 to 8 months out for international flights is what we found just based on the data we have and just kind of what our flight experts have uncovered. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Like one of my rules that I have in place is whenever I finally book my ticket, I don't ever go back and like do the search again because I'm convinced that I will get like pissed off some of the times because there might be a lower flight. But yet I know so many of my friends do that and then they get so upset. I'm like, well, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. You know, you've already booked your flight. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so important to have services like yours or to be educated about flight booking, because isn't it like every second the price of a flight changes in some way?
Yeah, I mean, it could change. So, I mean, one of the things we also tell people is if you see a fare or like a mistake fare that we send and it's a place you really want to go, you should book it like right away, because you know, if you book directly with airlines, you can cancel, you know, within 24 hours if you book directly with airlines, because you can always cancel and those fares can go up within a few minutes, right? So, for example, I'm not sure if you're aware, but a few months ago, an airline was offering, you know, their $16,000 business class flights to Asia, but they offered them for, I think, under $100 round trip. So like things like that, you should just book those. Like, you know, like they're definitely not going to get any cheaper and then you should you can cancel within 24 hours, so always book them is kind of what we say. And then really we're not going to send out deals that are not much cheaper with huge savings, so that's kind of what we say. So
tell me a little bit more about mistake fares, because I think there's a lot of people that don't understand those.
Yeah, of course. So mistake fares are really, you know, what the word is, mistake fares, when airlines make mistakes and they publish, you know, incorrect prices. So it happens for a few reasons, right? I mean, mainly it's just the back end of these flight or all the flight pricing is very complex back end booking system. So errors are just going to occur now and again. It's just inevitable, right? So you know, there's a few things that can happen. So one is just simple human error. You know, it might be that, you know, someone just omitted or added a number in an error when entering a flight price, right? That could happen. And then also sometimes there are, you know, they omit fuel surcharges and fees on accident, which can be super expensive. So, I mean, sometimes I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but the flight of the price is not actually expensive. What the expensive part is the fuel surcharge, which can be really expensive. Sometimes I leave that out by mistake. And then another reason, like a mistake for might pop up, is currency conversion error. So when moving from currency to currency, again, it's just a complex backend system. Things can get tricky. So that can kind of, you know, be an issue when you have a miscalculation between different currencies. And then, you know, you have a mistake fare where there's a $100 flight that should have been, you know, 2000. So, yeah.
Interesting. Right. And so like when those pop up, those sometimes are like a limited time span, right? Before those deals just sort of like evaporate or somebody realizes like, oh crap, mm-hmm. there was a mistake in our system. So
yeah, exactly.
If you get one of those, like you say, like it's best to just book it. And then if you need to cancel it or you have like buyer's remorse, you can do that within 24 hours.
Exactly. Exactly. Cause those, I mean, once, for example, the one I was talking about, the business class, the $16,000 ticket that was actually that they sold for $100 last, I think it was a few months ago. What they did is, you know, the second people find that, it's going to be all over the internet, you know, it's going to be picked up by all publications, and then the airline's going to, you know, they're going to take it down instantly. So you got to book it. You got to book it.
Yeah, that's great. I love like, even if I've done that before in a mistake fare, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to go to this place.
Yeah.
But it's so cheap. It's like, I can't even justify not booking the ticket, which of course is the crazy reason to spend money. But, you know, when, I mean, something like that, like a business class ticket, I mean, that's like a pretty nice flight for a pretty small amount of money.
Exactly.
Well, and I love the Dollar Flight Club. You guys are launching a domestic deals product, which I think is really interesting because a lot of the services talk about, you know, going to different countries and other deals. And I don't see a lot of them focused on, you know, within the United States and the different deals that pop up. So how did you decide to develop this kind of niche?
Yeah, of course. So the domestic deals actually launched last week. And it's going really well. So really, I mean, you hit it on the head there. I mean, number one is, you know, there are other players in the market that don't focus on domestic deals. And what we've realized is there's a massive market there. I mean, first off, only 36% of Americans hold a valid passport. So that tells you there, you know, most people can't even travel internationally. So what's the point of all these deals, right? And then also, you know, US domestic travel, I think it increased to roughly 2.3 billion one-way domestic trips in 2018, just in the US, which is huge. So what we decided to do is, you know, say, hey, there's lots of people who can only travel in the US, who only want to travel in the US, have dates that, you know, they can't be traveling on random days, right? They actually need to go for the weekend. So what we did is we said, okay, let's do this. We're only going to send you deals for this domestic product that leave on a Friday and come back on Sunday, Monday. So they're only for the weekend to US destinations. They're only nonstop flights. So yeah, it's just, it's a really good way to save a lot of money and take weekend getaways. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that idea. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, Dollar Flight Club versus like using, you know, Google Flights or Expedia, like other than the commission part that we kind of talked about already, like what are some of the distinct differences between those?
Yeah, of course. So number one is, you know, we're going to save you a lot of time because we're doing all the legwork for you. You know, I'm sure, you know, when you're looking for to travel and you're trying to book a flight somewhere, you often spend a lot of time searching different sites, you know, not sure if this is actually the cheapest fare, kind of waiting, saying, I'll check back next week when it's cheaper potentially, or, you know, you never know, right? So we're saving you all that time because we search all of these websites and then pull all of that data and then send out the cheapest fare. So we're doing all that like work for you. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, obviously, you know, the main benefit is we're going to save you money on flights, right? But what we also have is we have a premium membership partner perks program where as a premium member, you get access and discounts to, you know, lots of partners and services and travel gear So for example, you get, you know, 50% off expeditions and trips like safaris and cool stuff like that. And then also travel gear from places like Huckberry or Topo Designs. So that's kind of another, just a value add that, you know, those other places don't have. It's really just the flights. So
the weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited. And it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/etm and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/etm. Go to joindeleteme.com/etm and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey, so we got an Ask Shauna question today that comes from an Instagram follower who is 23, living with her parents, and makes $2,000 a month. The question is, how much should they be spending on food, entertainment, savings, etc.? They don't have any bills other than gas and a phone, but live in Los Angeles, which of course I know is a very expensive city. Look, I'm going to be real with you. If you have the opportunity to move back with your parents or family member like this person does and not have to pay any rent or any utilities, that is a tremendous, tremendous smart money move. And so many of my friends have had that opportunity and they're just like, I can't do it. I can't move back in with my parents. I can't do it. And I moved back to with my parents for about 5 months when I was getting divorced. And it actually was oddly a good time. It was kind of nice to feel like I was a kid again. I get my laundry done for me. I didn't have to worry about utility bills. But I get it. There comes a point when you gotta get out. You've saved enough money. You've accomplished the goal you need to. And it's time to move on. So whatever that situation is, just know that living with your parents or a family member where you don't have to pay rent is a huge advantage because you can save a ton of cash and you could have some fun. So they can be a nice balance there. But what I don't want is you to have $2,000 worth of fun and basically not take advantage of the amazing advantage that you have living rent-free. So I would aim to save somewhere around 20-25% of your take-home pay. So I would say somewhere around $400-500 a month. And some of that could go into a retirement account, whether you have a Roth IRA or an IRA or a 401k. I don't know what your situation is. Or at least please put it in a high-yield savings account where you're earning something above 2% interest. So like an Ally account, Marcus has got a good one. There's so many different ones, but you really want to be able to earn more interest than you are in your bank account. And besides, if the money just sits in your bank account, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to get spent. So since your fixed costs are really, really low, I'm going to say maybe you're spending no more than $500 a month for gas and a phone bill. Let's just say you're left with then $1,000, right? After savings, after you've paid your gas and your phone bill. So you got like $1,000, right? Give or take. If you budgeted $25 a day for food for 7 days a week, that would be roughly $700 per month that you could spend on food, which I think for a lot of people listening are probably like, oh my gosh, that is a huge amount of money to spend on food. But if you don't have a lot of expenses and you're still saving some money and that's the lifestyle you want to have, then who are we to judge, right? So then let's say that after the $700 for food, you're left with $300 or $400 a month, somewhere in that range. What I'd really suggest is try to set yourself up on a daily budget. That way you can easily track your spending. And if you don't spend it all in one day, you can just roll it over to the next. Does that make sense? And it could be any dollar amount. Like if you're like $25 is too much, I want 15 or 20, whatever that may be. But there has to be some threshold, some tipping point where you got to make sure that you're also saving and banking away some cash while you're in this awesome position. So I would say no more than $700 to $800 a month on food, eating out, entertainment, all that good stuff. And I know that sounds like a lot to a lot of us, but it's really easy to spend that much in a big city in 1 month. I wish it wasn't. But any of you listening who live in a big city, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So in my opinion, I would take then any excess amount that you have for the month, and I just added back in the savings. I mean, the more you can save right now, the more money you can bank away, the more money you can have in your high yield savings account, or you can have invested, whatever that might look like for you, the better off you're going to be when you roll out of that situation of living with your parents. You're going to have a beautiful little nest egg that you're going to be so happy that you didn't spend all of it on just going out to eat. So I'm all about balance. I think balance is awesome, but hopefully that gives you a little guideline and just a little suggestion of how to rein in your spending. But right now you have a real opportunity to grow your cash, so definitely take advantage of that as well. Interesting. Yeah. So you can sign up for like the membership model, and then you can receive all these extras. And I would imagine with the membership model, you get more flight deals sent to you, or.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess, you know, another reason, you know, why it's different than going to Google Flights or Expedia is, as opposed to, you know, you going to Expedia and just searching for places that you know you want to go, right? We're kind of also, you know, helping the traveler who doesn't know where they want to go. And we are there to inspire you to go somewhere new, somewhere fun, right? So we're more so telling you where to go than you going and saying, okay, I only want to go to this place, right? And that's kind of where our mission comes in, is we're trying to help people travel, explore the world, right? So that's kind of another, reason why it's different.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, like, why do you think it is with, you know, millennials and younger generations that have this like sense of adventure over a steady paycheck or paying off debt? Like, is it just that technology has allowed these places to feel close to us in the way that, you know, now we have this desire to go explore, or, you know, like, what do you think it is?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, I think, you know, it seems like before it was like, what people did is, you know, you worked the 9 to 5 and then you retired and then you went and traveled and explored. But I think nowadays people are realizing they can travel, adventure more, and really live a more kind of active lifestyle that they're more in control of, you know, by essentially working remotely, or, and it's just more fulfilling, right? And I think that's kind of a newer thing that people are taking advantage of. And obviously I think it's really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is technology, because, you know, it wouldn't be possible to do this, or for people to just, you know, traveling full time and over that steady paycheck and really just going to different places and just working there. It wouldn't be as easy, you know, back, you know, a while ago compared to today. So I think that's kind of, you know, where it came from. And then, I mean, I think also people, you know, I think it's probably more fun and easier to travel to certain places, you know, when you're younger than when you're, you know, older and retired. So I think people are, you know, you know, maybe realizing that as well. So,
yeah. Where do you think that technology is going to take us in terms of travel in the future? Like, how does your own company kind of evolve in the future?
Yeah. I mean, so we're just really trying to help people save money on flights. I mean, that's kind of our number one thing. But at the end of the day, we're trying to build a, you know, a complete travel experience where we're helping you with the flights, and then we're just making travel easier and more comfortable. So thinking about layering in, you know, lounge access or TSA pre-check, like those types of things, is kind of what we're looking to do. So, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, I even just think like the past 5 years, if we look at travel and like how technology has changed travel, and I think in like a really good way and making things mm-hmm. like super accessible. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even imagine where it's going to take us in the next 5 years, but yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to see, you know, it being more affordable for people to travel and for there being a lot more options for people, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, I don't know if this is 5 years, but obviously moving towards, you know, airplanes that have less emissions, right? Is kind of what would be nice to see. I don't know if that's 5 years away though. and then also, I think at the end of the day, I think what it seems like most travel companies, or maybe not travel companies, more airlines and just airports in general, like, you know, companies like Clear, for example, at the airport, who are making travel just more comfortable. Because right now it's kind of a hassle, right? It's like,
yes.
You have to get to the airport, you know, you might live 30, 40 minutes away, then you got to get there 2 hours before, you know, depending on where you're going, and then you got to get through security, and then you got to wait. So it's just like, you know, it's definitely not super comfortable unless you're, you know, a billionaire and you have your own plane. So I think airlines and, you know, bigger companies are working to get it and make it a little more comfortable for people and just faster. Because I think right now it's just, you know, it's kind of takes long. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, I'm paying thousands of dollars or whatever the dollar amount is mm-hmm. for my husband and I to sit in traffic, stand in long lines, have to take, you know, basically like undress to go through security, you know, pay exorbitant amount of money for food in the airport, sit in like a seat in the plane that you can like barely move. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm paying for this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think places like Europe might be are a little further ahead just because of, you know, they have a train system that's almost even more convenient at the end of the day, if you think about it, because it's just, those trains are so fast in the US, you know, getting from one side to the other on Amtrak can take like, you know, 3 weeks probably compared to, exactly. Yeah. So just, I think it's just, you know, making it more comfortable at the end of the day is, I think, important. So.
Yeah. I'd love to know, are there maybe a couple of pearls of wisdom or thoughts that you can share with us about travel and how to think about maybe our money in terms of travel or how to maximize our money for travel in the future?
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think people should think about travel as kind of investment in yourself. You know, every time you go somewhere new, you're really learning and growing as a person and just kind of seeing new cultures. Meeting new people. So I think at the end of the day, travel kind of as an investment is the way, you know, I try to look at it. And I hope other people do as well.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, I've always seen it as a worthy investment. And I'm sure people would argue both sides of that, but it does really just open your eyes to different cultures, to different ways of life. But I think also you learn a lot about yourself and what you're capable of. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it tests your skills in a way, but it's just, I think it's so important to have that balance and to be able to get away and not think about work or whatever it may be and have, mm-hmm. you know, an experience that, I don't really think you can put a total price tag on it. So I'm totally with you on that one.
Yeah. I mean, also, I mean, another thing is also some people, you know, it's really easy to go, you know, shopping and, you know, spend, you know, a few $100, right? On just clothing, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you do that twice, that's like a flight to Europe, right? So it's just thinking about it in terms of that. Can kind of put into perspective. And, you know, to me, I think, you know, traveling somewhere is worth it more to me than, you know, buying, you know, $500 worth of clothes or something in a month or in a few months, you know, so rather saving for the travel than for that. But that's just kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. I think that's a good perspective. Well, Jesse, this has been great. Like, tell everybody where they can go to find the Dollar Flight Club and to connect with you.
Yeah, of course. You can check us out at dollarflightclub.com. We have a 14-day free trial, so you can, you know, get access to all our international flight deals, and then all our U.S. domestic weekend getaway flight deals as well, and access to all some of those premium partner perks, discounts from your, you know, some of our favorite brands. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode, and a big thanks to our sponsors that make this show possible. Remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. But before you leave, I want to empower you to embrace where you are today, the good and the not so good. And remember, nothing lasts forever. Just keep taking small steps every day and remember how awesome you truly are.